doing. He was, like you said, being thrown in a million directions. Did you see the movie?
I didn't see it. Oh, you're neglected.
That he was thrown in a million directions, that he finally woke up and said, hey, I've got to write this memorandum. And the team players didn't like it.
I don't think he was thrown. Don't you think he was running in different directions by his lifestyle?
I think he got sick and tired of lying to people, negotiating.
He's a little kid. You suck, Mr. McGuire. I know, he said, what did he say? He said, fuck you.
Yeah. So I say.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a situation like it?
Yeah.
What, thrown in a million directions?
Yeah, sure. One of those, one of the ones that, you know, you write a paper about.
I just was. Just 2 weeks ago. I was starting, it was, okay, we got started, basketball was starting our conditioning. And my title this past year was a student athlete / manager. The manager part was to get me my scholarship. And so this next year, I'm going to be moving just as strictly athlete. So I was working out with the team, but I wouldn't suit up for games. I would suit up in practice, and I'd do whatever. And then this year, I'm moving to an athlete. Well, the managers have to, technically through NCAA rules, have to do certain managerial stuff. And we have to be in there doing office work, all hours of the night. We got to be, if the coach needs to be driven to the airport at 3 in the morning, we got to take him. I mean, no questions asked. That's our job. Through rules, we're paid to do it. Bam. I mean, we're given a scholarship. Well, we started our off-season workout, and that's every morning at 6 a.m. You got to be there at 5:30 for stretching and everything. And it's just, it's rigorous. I mean, I go through it every morning. Like, I'm still going through it now. And it got to a point where I had a huge test coming up in management. I was way behind my OMIS homework. I had a paper to do in here. I had just tons of things were piling down on me, and I could see that if I neglected this or put it off, I was gonna do really bad in all these classes. So I went in and I talked to him, and I said, listen, I said, this is bullshit. And I told him flat out, I went to the assistant coach, I never say this to Brian Hamill. I said, this is bullshit. I said, you've got me doing manager shit. I'm like, you've got me doing player stuff. I said, my teachers have me as a student. I'm like, you do not consider my studies. All you care about is that I pass my classes, and that's not good enough for me. I said, I have my priorities straight. I said, I have my family, I have my education, and then I have basketball. And they didn't like that.
Yeah.
They didn't like that at all. They, as far as they're concerned, it's family, basketball, education. But you've got to pass. Well, no, I didn't agree.
Terrible.
Well, I talked to him, and he said, all right, you know, you got some days off. The assistant coach told me. Well, Coach Hamill didn't agree whatsoever. When he found out, I mean, that's when it really hit the fan. As a matter of fact, I left this class, English, with Katie. This was Friday, a week ago Friday, and we were walking through the Fieldhouse parking lot. She could tell you, he bumped into me in the parking lot, and he wasn't nice. He told me exactly what he thought of my efforts. He told me exactly what he thought of how I handled the situation, how everything was just being dealt with, how I didn't go to him.
Oh,
he told me, I mean, he put me down to a point where I was like, you know, I felt really bad. And then I went on to my next class to have my teacher tell me that in psychology, tell me that if I don't do this, then that, you know, then I felt really bad about that. And I got pushed to such a point that night, I swear I was going to just drink myself to oblivion.
No, you should have cried.
No, I couldn't cry. I think it's impossible for me to cry.
It's terrible.
Not even when you get hit in the head with a softball or something.
Coach.
I really do think it's impossible for me to ever cry again. Just because I've cried too many times with family problems.
Yeah, don't cry for me.
All right, Madonna. But anyway, so I mean, he didn't like it at all. And this past week, last week, I had to work, I mean, twice as hard. First of all, I've got to always work twice as hard because I'm not in the shape that these guys are in, because they're in just phenomenal shape. And so I've always got to work hard. I'm always getting sick in the morning. I've thrown up every morning, every weekday morning for the past 2 weeks.
That's good.
I mean, this morning I threw up.
Well, you have a problem.
I feel like I'm bulimic.
Really? Health service can help you.
But my, I'm going there today, this afternoon at 1:15. I got a meeting or an appointment. But I went there last week. They told me I had bronchitis. They didn't care. My coach didn't care. He's like, so? He's like, you know, good rest, ready to go. I'm like, you know what? If this is how you're treating me, you know, if you think I'm going to stick around for 4 years, my body won't take it.
Well, that's terrible.
What about you? Have you ever been pushed to a point?
Well, yes, I have. Yes, well, you've been pushed to a point.
I
think, you know, coming to Northern Illinois University, just like your story, I've been pushed. This is different because I've been involved in many activities. I'm a senator with the SA. I do a lot of stuff with that. Chairman of the College Republicans with the elections in November. A lot of stuff with that.
You know
what? That pulls you in a lot of directions.
There's a guy in my fraternity, Steve Kovacs, who's really big.
Yeah, Steve. You're in SIGAPS?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm joining.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm serious.
Oh, you're in. You're golden.
No, thanks
you
for coming.
You are golden. You are golden. I'm letting you in.
No, he's a Democrat, but that's okay.
So we were busy.
We were busy with that. No, I used to be a Democrat. Now I have a job. You know, you can use that one on the kids. So being involved with that, the election and whatnot, have you, and with the SA, there's a lot of tumultuous situations going on, and then with class, and with family, and with work, I think that pulls you in a lot of directions, and you have to sit down, and what I did over the break is you sit down and you know, recategorize what your goals and what you really want. Is your education, is getting a 4.0 what you really want? Or is getting a 3.0 and getting involved as much as you can,
exactly,
what you want, and that's the direction I took.
I agree.
I don't need to get a 4.0. There is no reason for it. But I do want a 3.0 and above. And I also want the extra curricular activities.
Now let me ask you a question. Not to interrupt your story, but I was put in that same situation where I thought about it, and I could have passed on basketball. I could have passed on a whole bunch of things, but I figured that, you know, I know I'm capable of a 4.0. Do you think that? Do you think you're capable? If you were just to drop everything.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. If I was to drop everything and study every single waking hour, I could get a 4.0.
So
that's
I
not
so.
Right, because people don't just look
absolutely.
At grades. They look at your well-roundedness, yeah. And they see what you've been involved in.
Positions are more important.
And positions are more important. But grades, you know, grades are very important. And I think a 3.0 is good. I mean, do you think a 3.0 and above is...
I think a 3.0 is fine. It depends on what you want to do.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to go on and get a corporate job, I mean, frankly, as far as I've noticed, they don't look at grades. They look at a pass. I mean, it looks good if you pass with, I mean...
flying colors.
Right.
Oh,
but basically, I've never seen that, you know, 3.5 was any different from a 4.0.
Especially with politics.
Especially
with politics.
Because when I become governor, they're not going to look at my grades. They're going to look at my politics.
Did I hear an interesting story about the governor?
There is no interesting story.
Oh, yeah, there is. I worked at Arlington Racecourse, okay?
Yeah, Steve Dutch's farm.
And, yeah, and you know what? You told me, or you said how you went with the governor to the racetrack. Now, I meant to say something about this because I was working that day. And when the governor pulled up in his car... It was a four-door car,
Lincoln.
And yeah, four guys got out, mm-hmm. And they, you know, well, first of all, a car arrived 20 minutes before him and secured the area,
yeah.
And told us the governor is coming. Okay, so we were all like, ooh, the governor's coming. Well, it just so happened, I was next in line to drive the governor's car. I had to park it.
No, you can't.
Yes, I did.
No, you can't.
Yes, I did. I swear to God, I'm not lying to you. I went there, and I only moved it 20 feet because, you know, his car was like top priority. It stayed in the front. I got to drive his car. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I was like, there's the governor's car. And I'm looking in the back seat, and he's got, like, you know, two things of alcohol, you know, the bottles, like in a limo. I'm like, wow, it's the governor's car. I parked it. I thought it was really cool. But I
should have done some donuts.
No.
I didn't remember seeing any.
That's illegal.
Is it?
Yeah. No one but the Secret Service is supposed to drive his car.
I don't know. They were there when I did it. I mean, it's not like they walked in and I, you know, could have put a bomb in there. They saw me park it.
still. Yeah. I'm going to have to talk.
Those are big dads. Yeah, I always wish Dan Bellino, the valet parker.
No, he's a big, because his father owns racehorses, so he's a big horse fan.
That's just why he's a big guy. I mean, as far as racehorsing goes, not physically. He's very tiny.
He's like the fourth most powerful man in the state of Illinois.
Wow, he's tough. He, you know, he flies into Arlington in his helicopter. He flies right into our lot, too. Sometimes you're driving, next thing you know, a helicopter is landing. You're just like, whoa.
Expect someone to kick down the door?
He has an annual, if you ever heard of the Arlington Million, he has an annual party at his house where he hires four or five of the top valet parkers, depending on how much we make, to work. Because you pull off, I think it's like $1,200 in the night that you work at his house. Because it's just, I mean, you get people pulling in there, and you never see a car that's more than 2 years old, unless it's like a classic Rolls Royce or something like that. I mean, every car that comes in there is brand new, and just it's just phenomenal. And I got to work there only because I think my dad knew a guy who got me the job to begin with. I'm working there, and I mean, it was just like an amazing night working at his house. And his house is huge.
Yeah.
It's enormous. I'm surrounded by, like, you know, beautiful horses, you know, just walking across the lawn. You're just like, wow, you know, to have money.
That's good.
Where's his house at?
His house is in, I want to say, it's right by Barrington, off of Lake Cook Road. When you're driving, if you ever drive down, are you familiar with that area?
No, he's from the sticks.
No, my parents.
Oh, yeah,
he used to live there.
But when you're going down Lake Cook Road, heading, I'd say, turn northwest, you see, like, a huge, like, farm kind of looking place, and you see a golf course. And you just notice that this golf course seems to be right behind, like, a big kind of, like white house. Well, that's his house. He's got a golf course in his backyard. And in order to get to the front of his house, there's a gate that surrounds the whole area. And the front gate, it has two horses, and they're, like, running head-to-head. And it looks like they're crossing a finish line. It's like 3D kind of effect. It's really cool. And once you get in there, his house is about, I'd say, about 500 yards down this driveway. And as you're driving down the driveway, you're just like, you know, this is his driveway. And it like hits you like, this is only his driveway. It's not a road. It's his driveway. And so once you get to the house, you just pull up. And it seems like the house just, you know, hovers over you and sucks you in. This is huge.
Kind of like Forrest Gump.
Forrest? I gotta say.
That's all I gotta say about that.
That's all I gotta say about that.
So give us your experience.
What do you want to hear?
Ask Coach.
Coach just wants to hear what we want to talk about.
Coach is third party on this one.
Now what other movies have you guessed?
Rocky. An American president.
Now, see, that was a great movie.
Yeah,
that was really good.
I like that movie.
See?
I like that movie a lot.
No, that was
really I have it on tape in my room.
I think she's beautiful.
She is.
Don't you want her?
No.
I do.
No, after her role in Bugsy, I don't think I...
Why? She was pretty good in that.
I don't know. She acted like the lunatic kind of mobster wife. And you know how you get that impression of somebody from a movie?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how can you ever look at the guy that played Freddy Krueger the same? You just can't.
Yeah, that's true.
It's impossible. And once you see, like...
Or Julia Roberts. She's
a
whore.
Yeah. Right.
Or, like, Fonzie.
Oh, Fonzie, yeah.
Or Jack Trooper.
You know who... What was it really got? It's like, I want to say, like... Not Robin Williams. Who's it? Like a guy that plays... Oh, like Steve Urkel. You can never look at Steve Urkel in a serious role.
Daniel?
Could you have to begin with?
Jameel White. Well, yeah. But like Jameel White, anytime he's like on TV and he's talking, don't do drugs, I'm thinking, like, man, he's a geek. You always just can't...
Yeah, where's your pants?
Yeah.
But there's always actors that just play like lunatics.
Except Jack Nicholson. I mean, he could play anything and do anything and respect him.
That's because he's like... God,
and Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro, too. Mm-hmm.
And Al Pacino. I mean...
But you're naming some great guys. I mean, come on. You're talking about the best, the epitome.
No, those guys are at the top. I enjoy it.
This guy's like Val Kilmer. They can really...
Well, they're losers.
Yeah. Right. Charlie Sheen, you know, one bad movie, he's done.
Yeah, he's a loser.
Why he did Hot Shots, I don't know.
Drugs. I mean, it gets to you.
Drugs,
you know,
alcohol.
Crack. I mean, get rid of the crack. Maybe you'll do something.
Robert Downey Jr.
Oh,
that's good.
Nice. He's a great actor, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rob Lowe. I mean, look at him.
Rob Lowe.
Mickey Rourke.
he just took his career and hung it on a rope. Here you go. I don't watch this.
You know who's an up and coming one? It's Tommy Lee Jones. I think he's really
Tommy good. Lee?
Yeah.
He's awesome. I think he's one of the top five actors, male actors, in the world.
I would say, what do you think?
I don't know. Who's Tommy Lee Jones?
Remember from The Fugitive?
Search of Suspect. He's Dr. Richard Kimball.
Dr. Richard Kimball.
He's in just about everything. He's sort of a character actor, but he's...
You know what movie he played great in? Blown Away with Jeff Bridges.
No.
Oh, man. He played an Irish kind of revolutionist who went on a... It's a great movie. Who, in the past, he was known for blowing up things, and he got caught and arrested. And Jeff Bridges didn't get caught. They used to work together, and then Jeff Bridges moved to the United States.
Never seen it, no.
And he worked... And he became a fireman. Or no, he worked on the bomb squad.
Isn't that with Nicole Kidman or something?
What's that?
No, she's beautiful.
Nicole Kidman. Yeah. She's with Tom Cruise.
You know, he's a good actor, too, to be honest with you. I might get chastised
for this. I
used to
think he really sucked. But after seeing
Top Gun. A Few Good Men.
Top Gun.
Top Gun was terrible.
Wait a second. Hold on a second.
A Few Good Men was
Top Gun is one of the only movies that every time it's on TV, you just have to watch it.
No way.
Oh, you're not.
Top Gun's not that. Full Metal Jacket. Now that's a movie.
Sergeant Pyle.
Platoon. Put down that gun, Sergeant Pyle.
Officer and a gentleman.
What is your major malfunction?
And the best part about that movie is that Sergeant Pyle was like the best shooter in that whole place.
Never seen.
You've never seen Full Metal Jacket?
I don't get out much.
The rest of these horror movies, they're good.
I haven't even seen Caddyshack. That's terrible.
Keep it fair. before every basketball game that I've played in since I was like a junior in high school, I walk up to the officials before their game and I shake their hand and say, keep it fair, keep it fair. All the time. Sometimes they get it and they just start laughing. Other times they look at me like, this kid is nuts, you know? You remember that with
uh-huh.
Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah. The White House looks so much different on TV.
Doesn't it? Crimson Tide I liked. Now that was a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gene Hackman's a great actor.
Oh, yeah. And Denzel.
Denzel is surprisingly very good. I don't know why he did that Preacher's Wife.
Well, I was proud of him. Well, I never seen that.
I don't like that.
Whitney and you know, let me say. Yeah.
Whitney gets around.
We get off track here. Mm.
That's what he wants. See, now you ruined it. Did he?
But that's good.
It was another good movie, Casino.
Casino though is that not some kind of Goodfellas idea?
Casino's true.
Yeah, cool. But I mean it's Goodfellas again.
Yeah, but you know what it did?
No, my
it's
mother.
So Goodfellas.
Yeah, but it relates to more people because more people were at Las Vegas. Right? Las Vegas more directly associated, and mm-hmm. You know people want to see the stuff behind the scenes, you know, the cheaters that get caught, you know. Mm-hmm. People want to see how they're sitting up there and they've got all the cheats, you know, and how you've got the pit boss being watched by the overall boss, and the overall boss is being watched by the, you know, the boss upstairs. Everybody, you know, no one trusts anyone in Las Vegas, and it's like true today, except now it's more of a family.
That was the coolest thing about it.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the cool stuff in it could have been made into a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
which would have been a great documentary.
Yeah. Got to agree with you. I don't know, there's something cool about cheating.
Yeah.
No, cheating is wrong.
Yeah, but if you could get away with it in Las Vegas, then it's an art form. There's something about
it. I guess it's true. Like what's his name?
Who?
Raymond?
Oh, Raymond.
Raymond.
Raymond and what's the brother's name?
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, what's Tom Cruise's name?
Ray.
He was
Danny or something?
His name was,
doesn't matter.
His brother.
So, did you guys read the Northern Star today?
Northern Star.
See how they ripped me apart again?
Again.
Did they say something about you?
Oh, an editorial was about me.
Did they really? Wow,
an editorial, yeah. You're moving up in the world.
Hey, you know what?
You've been reading this stuff?
I didn't congratulate you.
Every other week.
No. I didn't congratulate you. During season, they ripped on us.
No.
They never directly mentioned me
because I'm not, you know, suiting up for games. Oh, yeah. We
They're terrible. It's the worst paper I've ever seen in my life. They misquote people. They misspell.
You know, half their quotes on the basketball team aren't even said.
Yeah.
Usually we go in the locker room and it's like a joke. It's like, oh man, you really said this?
Well, I was talking to one of the sports reporter guys.
Which one?
I don't know what his name is. He's taking a class with one of my colleagues or had taken a class.
Hit him for me.
He's always in the office.
Kevin Wentz, Rosenblum, or whatever the hell their names are.
Yeah, Kevin.
Well, who's the girl?
Kevin just wrote an article about how the Bulls are ruining the NBA. Okay.
How so?
It's their fault that they're dominating, right? I'm sorry, we're the best ever. That's our fault. We should trade away our guys to make it a little more.
Yeah, level the playing ground. I hate people like that. Cry me a river. They do that with the money. They did that last night, too. We shouldn't outlaw campaign spending because it's not leveling the playing ground.
These people are
go to hell. You have the money and you have the resources, you might as well use them.
And you know what? I agree with that because if you have somebody that works their ass off and makes $1 million a year, he should not have to pay more taxes because of somebody that doesn't work their ass off and works, you know, a minimum wage job.
Absolutely.
He should not have to pay more because he makes more. Because where do you draw the point? Because then if you draw it, if you're making $40,000 or more, then the guy that's making $40,000 in one is going to actually be making less money because he's going to be taxed more than the guy that's making $39,995.
No, I agree. Mm-hmm. They need a flatter, simpler tax.
Yeah.
Like across the board, and it's not fair that you tax the rich 40% of their earnings.
Yeah. No, it's higher than that. Or you count everything.
Yeah.
But it's like, think about that. You're working half your life to support the government. I don't want
it. I
compared
wouldn't
to work. Europe, income taxes here are laughable.
But it's still, this is our system, and it's like ludicrous that they're paying this much. I mean, you want to talk about discrimination and unfairness. Yeah. They're discriminating people who work hard in their life.
Yeah, and people that are fortunate. It's not my job to make sure that people that are less fortunate than I, you know, become like me. Because, you know what, personally, I don't want them like me. Because if they were like me, then there'd be somebody that's better.
Right. No, that's true.
Mm-hmm. You've got very
you need competition, and you also need, you know, let private people donate their time and money and do it. And if I want to donate $1 million to this charity, I should. And if I want to donate $1 million to the welfare program, I should.
But
I shouldn't have people tell me where my money should be spent.
But now it has to be a tax write-off.
Yeah.
Well,
I think they did it to begin with to keep people from, to keep an aristocracy from forming.
It's already formed.
I mean, that's why they have estate taxes.
Sorry.
No, I believe in taxes. I believe that we should provide some basic services, mm-hmm. but it's gone way out of hand.
Do you anticipate being taxed a huge deal? I mean, is that your beef with it?
I do.
Sure. I'm already taxed a big deal.
So am I.
I mean, I don't make that much.
Yeah.
You know, I make around 10 grand a year, but still, I'm getting like, it's like $3,000 in taxes I paid last year.
I used to be
sick.
Working at Arlington, I mean, some people think, you know, well, it's just a normal job. I mean, it really was. Mm-hmm. To get that job, my dad knew someone and whatever. And the money that came into that department was incredible. Day after day, compulsive gamblers with money.
Yeah.
And you immediately recognize the regulars, mm-hmm. and you know, they have a big day, you're getting a big tip. I mean, you immediately, there was one guy, Mike Riley, his parents owned a cabinet company, drove like a new Cadillac every day, and when he had a big day, he would drop $100 on you if his car's ready when he walks out.
They are your friends.
So, I mean, it was amazing. I was shocked. The first day I worked there, I made like, I'd say maybe $50 in tips.
I've got a friend who tips at McDonald's.
Really?
Some people are like, I'm a big tipper.
Yeah.
When I'm out at a restaurant,
I believe in tipping.
I will give a big tip if I feel that, you know, they deserve it and they're nice.
Right.
If you don't talk to me and you get all the food and everything done, you'll get a nice tip. But if you talk to me and, you know, you seem really interested in, you know, stuff, but sometimes I don't want to talk to you.
No, yeah, I don't base it on the 15%. I base it on your personality.
Yeah, me too.
You know, you get a buck if you fail. Yeah. Seriously.
But
with like in the restaurant in D.C.
No, you should tell them.
All right, in D.C. we drove all around because some of our friends, they wanted some Greek food. We didn't want that. So we drove all around, found some Mexican restaurant, and Mike loves his chips. And they didn't have chips. And so, you know, we're like, well, do we really want to eat here? Well, let's look at the menu. So we look at the menu. No, we can't read half of it. We didn't know what any of it was. So we just gave them $1 and said thanks for the water and left.
So then we went to a Cajun place.
Wouldn't give that $1.
Yeah. Oh, well, you give a buck for the water and for his troubles and for getting his emotions. Because we were probably the first customers of the day.
Yeah. And the only customers.
And only. But you know, we said.
Are you guys roommates?
We thought, no.
We live across the hall.
Were you guys friends before you came here?
No.
That's interesting.
No, he's chief administrative assistant on the College Republic.
So that's how you guys met. Is there like a College Republican floor here? You know how they got like the physical therapy floor?
Pretty much, yeah.
They have like wellness floors here?
B1.
The quiet floors, the business floors, the athletic floors. I would never, ever, ever go on an athletic floor. Just because I would not want to be surrounded with those egos.
It would probably smell, too.
I wouldn't say smell. I wouldn't say smell. It's just you're surrounded by just tons of egos. Mm-hmm. And that's here. Imagine on a campus of, you know, a U of I.
I know. And I feel it in this room.
What's really bad is I lived on an honors floor for a while. So you get a lot of 16-year-olds, smart stuff like that.
16-year-olds.
I mean, people who really are not old enough to be in school.
We got a 16-year-old on our floor.
Oh, yeah.
She is like a child.
She is a child. She does not belong in college. I don't care what her grades say.
But is she, like, getting good? Is she a genius?
No.
What
not
she,
by any
what she did.
She skipped a grade, cut two grades, and she made the grades. Whatnot.
You know what?
But she went to Washington with us, and it's a mistake.
It was, yeah.
I skipped a grade when I was younger, one of the early, I think it was the second grade I skipped. I started it,
and they
put me right into third. And I wish they had, because, I mean, I've got a lot of friends in my grades now, which I would never want to lose. And I'm sure if I was a grade back, I probably would be friends with them because of the whole, age factor. But if I stayed back, I mean, yeah, I'd still be in high school right now, but I would be. As far as athletically and with my mind, would just be so much better off.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't agree with that. Just because it's like, I know kids, I mean, and I don't agree with holding someone back either, because I know kids that have held their kids back, or people that have held their kids back in order to have them down there.
Which is that's sports parents.
Social.
I know one that prescribed his son steroids.
Oh my God. To be a doctor?
He's a dentist. And he prescribed him steroids.
A dentist can write.
He can write. He's got his
can
degree.
Yeah.
He can do whatever he wants. And he gave him steroids. They were mild, but everyone knew it. And you could see it a mile away. He was a monster football player.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
back to the 16-year-olds. Some of them are okay.
There's grass on the field. Play ball. That's one way to look at it. My girlfriend's older
than me. You mean softball, right?
Yeah, exactly. My girlfriend's older than me.
God.
She's got me by almost a year. That's because I'm young. I mean, look at me. I turned 18 in October.
Yeah, you're terrible.
I shouldn't be here. When I graduate, when I graduate from under, when I get my undergraduate degree of business, I will be 21 years old going out. I mean, there are people 23.
I was 21 my last year.
Really?
Senior year.
Don't you just feel kind of like weird?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I was like.
But I am going to law school too, though. So, I mean, I'll be graduating from law school.
Waste your life. Don't waste your life.
That's cool, though, because then you have time to get stuff done.
Yeah. I don't think it's wasting my life. I think it's a really smart decision because I'm like that. I'm very technical. If somebody, like, says something to me, for instance, if you were to pull something on us,
mm-hmm. I would immediately look at our syllabus and I'd look for something that contradicts what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, in a heartbeat. And if I found it, you could bet I will be at your office hours, like in 20 minutes, to tell you you're wrong. I would run there. And I would blow off a class to do it, too.
Obviously.
But you do that anyway.
You know what? I will tell you this.
Do you have your athlete card?
I don't have your athlete card. You know what? I'll tell you this.
What's with you and this athlete card?
He's convinced there's one out there.
There is.
I'll tell you this. Your class really is at a very terrible time for me. Because it's in the middle of the day.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I always feel like I'm getting there late. Because, I mean... I would say once a week I probably walk in late.
Probably.
But it's always because of my damn music teacher.
Yeah.
He's always got something, you know, like I told you, he's always pulling me out in class.
Right, Lottie freaking down.
So he's always got to talk to me. He's always got to take me to his office and be like, so, you know, how's this going? I mean, I'm getting an A in his class, but it's because I earned it. It's not because he's giving it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really don't need to talk to you. I like talking. I'm very talkative.
Yeah, but he enjoys your talk. Maybe that's why he keeps you.
I don't know. His wife teaches the class after him. They always talk. That's how I usually get away, because she goes walking up and I like sneak out. Please, don't talk to her. It hurts.
Speaking of music, I went to this AAA thing on Friday. Did you hear about that?
No.
AAA fashion show.
Hey, my girlfriend was there.
Wow. They did such an amazing job.
I heard that some of the people talking on the microphone wasn't that good.
No, it was terrible. The MCs were terrible, but just the all the different skits and everything. It wasn't just a fashion show. Mm-hmm. It was like skits.
I heard about
music.
That.
I was very proud. You'll see a letter sometime.
I had this whole past weekend we had the little Husky tournament, which is an 80 team tournament that comes in a grammar school. Mm-hmm. This weekend was 7th and 8th grade. And
oh, really?
3 weekends ago was 5th and 6th grade. And the parents, I had to referee
cute
some
kids.
Of the games. The parents out there are just absolutely brutal. They get into your personal life. They start talking to you about how you look. How you can never be an official, and, you know, if you think you'll ever officiate an NCAA, you're wrong, because like, you're ugly. You are disgusting. Look at your ankles. You got bird legs. I'm like, this whole time I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, first of all, they always wear pants, so they'll never see it. And so sometimes, occasionally,
so
occasionally, you have to get very sarcastic. Like one guy says to me, you know, in the stands, he says, you know, you can block shots. And I said, really? Like, are you kidding? You could really block shots? Like, when did this rule come into effect? And I said to the other official, you can block shots. And he's like, you can block shots? I'm like, wow, thanks for letting us know. You know, some parents take it offensive, though.
Yeah.
And this past weekend, this one coach, I called a flagrant foul on his 5th and 6th grade team 3 weekends ago.
Flagrant being?
Flagrant was, okay, this is the situation. There is a kid dribbling down the court. And he's a wide open layup. The kid on his team was right behind him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And my instinct, when I'm an official, I always say, let him go. You know, lay off him so that they don't do something stupid, hit him in the back and hurt him. I always just say, let him go.
You could talk to him during the game.
I pull the whistle out. And I just yell. The official could say anything. No one hears it except, you know, the players. I'm like, let him go, let him go. Well, this kid trips over his own 2 feet, and as he's falling, he grabs onto the back of the player holding carrying the ball, and he pulls down his jersey and pulls him down, and I was like, whoa. I'm like, all right, I had a decision to make. Obviously it wasn't with the intent to hurt him, because he tripped, but then again, he did obstruct him from getting a wide open layup. So I was like, well, you know, I called the flagrant, which is the arms crossed. If you want to call a flagrant with aggression, with the intent to hurt, you have the arms crossed, then you got to swing him down like really, really hard. And then you know, it's like, that was a serious foul, that's a technical, and you could get kicked out of the game for doing mm-hmm. something like that. I just call it a simple flagrant. Coach went nuts on me. Went nuts. So this past weekend, I'm officiating this game.
Mm-hmm.
Not even close to the same situation. I officiated the entire game. Everything went so smoothly. He didn't say 2 words to me other than, you know, he warned me about one of his players almost getting hurt. I'm like, whatever, you know, you blow it off. You completely look through him. You say, thank you, sir. You know, I'll look into that, and you walk away. Well, at the end of the game, he came up to me. and his exact words were, I don't know if I should bleep this out or anything. His
bleep
exact words were, yeah, I'm going to say it, just to get the effect. Can I say it?
You could say it.
The exact words were, he came up to me and said, you motherfucker, you're holding a grudge from 3 weeks ago. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, oh my God. And my first reaction was to say to him, you know, something very sarcastic about his mother, considering he brought that into effect. But I thought, this guy paid money to be in this tournament. And I said, sir, I am in college. I can't remember 3 weeks ago. And I walked away. That's what I said.
That's funny.
And I walked away. And he went straight to my coach and said, this tournament's this and that and da 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 da. Yada, yada, yada. And my coach just laughed when he heard what I said. He came up to me, he's like, that is great. I was like, well, you know, that guy was such a jerk.
That's good.
Oh, I hate that guy.
All right. Well, with that.
With that.
Get out of here.